Here we are at the end of our walk. This walk has told the story of Harwich as a town by the sea and shaped by the sea, physically, economically and socially. In terms of the physical environment, we've heard about the tidal wave in the 12th century that inundated the salt marshes, the flood of 1953 that caused widespread devastation, and the silting up of the harbour that put the town's lighthouses out of business. We've seen a wide estuary used by international shipping and a tranquil new set of sand dunes, now home to rare species. We've also learned about the different measures to warn and protect shipping from dangerous waters, including lighthouses, a lightship, buoys, and lifeboats. We've seen how the sea has driven Harwich's development and prosperity over the centuries. From the earliest settlement, money has been made from the sea. The Duke of Norfolk started the trend by placing a fort at the harbour entrance and demanding tolls. Later, the leading lighthouses were a great source of income for their owner, Major Rebo. We've heard about the money to be made from all kinds of maritime trade, from continental ferries to cruise boats and container ships. The seaside location has also brought tourists who've enjoyed the town's many entertainments, including its hotels, pubs, elegant cinema and pier. Harwich continues to thrive because of its relationship with the sea. With Trinity House keeping its operational headquarters in the town, and Harwich International Port just along the coast, these are both noteworthy employers and symbols of Harwich's continued significance as a port on the east coast of England. I hope you've enjoyed discovering Harwich and feel you know more about this small Essex town that became the gateway to the continent.